Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. The title of the show has to do with society, and we've had a number of communications with members of a society. The question is it a members of our society? And that's a choice you have to make yourself. Society has many forms. There's many natures to society, and there can be societies within societies, societies next to societies, and this conflict and the difference in the nature of these societies will make a difference in our lifestyle, our character. We mold society by our own character, and we are in turn molded by society that we live in. And Jesus said to live in the world, but not of the world. And what he was talking about when he used the word world there is a particular Greek word that is defined as constitutional order or system of government. It's defined that way in Thayer's and a number of other concordances. And it actually comes from a word chemizo, which had to do originally with military and taking care of people and regimentation and regulation. And words evolve over a period of time just as societies evolve. And so if you go back to the original Roman Republic, they operated mostly by free taxes. In other words, taxes were not imposed from the top down. They were voluntary offerings. This was a tremendous tradition amongst the Romans, voluntary offerings. And Paul's own half-brother and his son were notorious for their willingness to contribute to welfare projects. In other words, institutions that would take care of education and needs and the welfare of the people. And that's why they were very receptive to the gospel of the kingdom when they heard it coming from Paul. And it was spread throughout much of Europe and even into Asia and into North Africa, this idea of a society that operated by faith, hope, and charity. It was not a new idea. It was an old idea. It went back to Abraham, back to Moses. There were no imposed taxes in those systems. So death and taxes are not guarantees. And obviously we see that with Christ. But the word taxes is a deceptive word because we think, when we say taxes, we think immediately of taxes imposed by a centralizing authority from the top down. That's one form of society. There's other forms of society throughout our history that actually have been predominant forms of society, and those are the societies in which you tax yourself. In other words, you support the government with free will offerings. The difference in these two societies will make a difference in the nature of the people that you establish within that society. It changes the nature of a person when they are operating from a position of liberty, of charity, of philanthropy by choice, rather than by compelling offerings. As soon as you move your society slightly in the direction of compelled offerings, you begin to move the spirit and nature of society. And your own nature can be altered and remade in the image of that society that forces its members to contribute. Now, members should contribute. It isn't a question of whether or not the cause is worthy. Taking care of the needy of your society is a good thing. Taking care of the elderly, taking care of your parents is a good thing so that your days will be long upon the land. But if you are losing in your society, losing the right to choose how and when to do that, you will be altered by that change. And of course, your society will be altered, and then that new society will alter you even more. And this is what we have seen time and time again. Now, what happens when you give up your right to choose to a central authority, whether it be, you know, a good man or a bad man? And we've covered this in the Saul Syndrome, and people can go back and listen to those shows at our archives, which are located in a number of different places on our websites. And if you want to know or have guidance in doing this, of course, you go to hisholychurch.org, but join the local network. Join the people in your area that are beginning to wake up to the fact that there is another way, and that way is Christ's way. That way is the way of John the Baptist. If you have two coats and you have need, and you have need within your society where someone has no coat, you share. And that's what made America great, is that willingness to share, that charitable nature of its society, and we are losing that. Because a growing resentment of the poor who sit back and receive gratuities undeservedly. They just say, well, I'm poor, therefore I deserve it. I don't have a job, therefore you must take care of me. And are willing to force their neighbors to take care of them. That changes the nature of society, and it makes people morose and angry and resentful. And they, you know, they begin to become a lower mental state. Their brains slow down. They become, you know, trolls as you living under the coverture of a society that is forced to take care of them. There's no love in it, and it changes us. And at the same time, it changes those people that are in power. Back to that Saul Syndrome. You know, today, this day in history, is the birthday of Ivan. Ivan the Terrible, Tsar of Russia, one of the first real czars of Russia. Back in 1533, his father died. His father was Vasily III. And Ivan took over. And there was feuding amongst what they called the boyars, which were the kind of predominant family, equestrians in Rome, but in that particular time in Russia, they were called the boyar families. And they were feuding amongst each other. And why? Because they had obtained power between around 1090 to the 1500s, they had become more and more powerful in their local areas. They were wealthy, predominant, used to be noblemen, but now they were men of power. And they were fighting amongst themselves for more power. And this always happens. It happened with Aristobulus and Hyrcanus before Christ and brought the Romans into Judea. It happened when the Israelites were fighting with the kingdom of Judea after they established that they had a king, and that king would not release the people. Rehoboam would not release the people. But this czarist, Ivan, he begins to consolidate his power by at the expense of the boyars. And he was able to do this because the boyars were feuding amongst themselves, so he just simply got some of them to ally themselves with him, and he created what they call the Chosen Council, centralizing power more and more. Then he reorganized the army around 1552, and then he invaded Kazan and Astrakhan, and eventually Serbia, and Livonia, Poland, Sweden. He was eventually pushed back by Stefan, but he had expanded this power of Russia and this idea of the Tsar of Russia. In the later years of his life and his reign, he became absolutely ruthless and became literally insane at times. Forcibly confiscated the lands in a reign of terror against the boyars, where they were either executed or exiled from the nation entirely. Fits of rage predominated his life, and then he would have periods of tremendous repentance and remorse and prayer. He was driven mad by this power, just like Saul had been. And the reason why, he eventually even killed his own son. He had numerous wives. They don't even know how many wives he had, and he either had them murdered or forced them to become nuns in the Greek Orthodox Church. The point is that this society is altered when you start giving power to men, just as you alter those rulers. The more power you give to rulers, the more they are driven towards tyranny, because you have picked men who seek power. And why did you pick those men? Because you did not want to accept your responsibility. So if you want to turn your society around, if you want to have a free society, you have to take back your responsibilities. That's the path that you went when you left a free society. You said, oh, you take care of this, and I'll just watch TV. What you see on the floor of society, the welfare people they complain about that are just, you know, sitting back and watching TV and getting a check and demanding more result, that is the destination of a society. You think you, oh, well, I won't get that bad. But you have to either go in the direction of the kingdom, individual, personal responsibility, coming together in free assemblies, caring for your society by faith, hope, and charity, by tithing to men of service, not men who seek power. Don't pick your minister and say, well, he'll take care of this for me and I don't have to worry about it. No, you be a part of that. This is why the presbyters, the elders of each congregation, were the kinds of men they were, is because they didn't relinquish their responsibility of decision-making and of supporting the government of God. They were an integral part of it. And we're going to be talking about that over the next 2 hours, of what that looks like. This is the way of Christ. And we see John the Baptist talking about it. When if John the Baptist describes the kingdom as a place where if your neighbor has no coat and you have two, if your neighbor has no food and you have extra, you share to each according to his means, he chooses to share. It's not taken from him like a social estate. It's given. This changes the nature of society. It changes your nature. You start doing that and you become compatible with the character of Christ. Now the power of Christ can flow through you. When you're selfish, the power of Christ cannot flow through you. It cannot come to you. It will not enter into you. It will not protect you. You will not have the armor of God. You have to start giving of yourself, or you will not have life more abundant. You don't have to give 10% of what you earn to some minister, but you have to start giving your time, showing up. When your neighbor says, let's have a meeting, I have some things I'd like to discuss. Your assembly, show up. Be a part of that assembly. I back off from those things because I've been showing up for years. I want you guys to start gathering together and showing up because you guys are society. You are the free society that I want to be a part of. Rulers step up when people step down. But Christ kept stepping back and saying, you guys take care of it. You do it. He had to leave town. He had to go out and get away from you so that you would start to take your responsibility. and that will change your society. And we're going to talk in depth about society and the nature of society and how we went wrong. And we'll take calls in the latter part of the second show on Liberty Radio Live. And if you have questions, and there's chat rooms where you can put your questions, and people will voice them on the show, and we'll be discussing these things. And so you can have input, and that's important that you have input in society. If you want a better people to make a better world, then we will have to begin where people are made, in the family. So how does the family sustain itself? With forced offerings provided by men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority? Christ said you couldn't do it that way. He says that's not the way. It's not to be that way with you. The foundation of society is the family. But the way in which that family relates to the other families of society will determine whether it succeeds or fails. And when the foundation fails, all fails. And that's why you see families breaking down across the nation. Most children are born in single-parent families. A great many of the children are born without a father around at all. This is not good. This is bad for society. It's unhealthy for society. And what has contributed to that? Well, some people say it's public school. Well, it's a combination of that. One quote here is, "The future of education and of America as a free society depends on the liberation of the American family from the grip of public school. Regardless of motives, the people who foisted state education on us have committed a grave offense. Using a variety of strategies, we must reclaim the right to raise our children and to help them educate themselves. In fundamental sense, that is the American way. God created man, not society. Man created society because men are often different. There are different kinds of societies." And that's the latter part, that was me. But the first part was Sheldon Richmond, who's written a number of books about homeschooling and public schools. And we had a great show last week with Colin Gunn about homeschooling and the problems with it and his film Indoctrination. And you guys can hear that in the archives. We have to rethink what we are doing. And what we're doing, it seems so small. We're just an individual. How can me changing a little bit change all of society? You don't have to change all of society. You just have to change your relationship with society. Now, most people, and we've seen that in some posts that I shared with the Living Network, or at least with the PCMs on the Living Network, that they want to form a society, a socialist society. A number of people were saying that Christ was a socialist. Absolutely nonsense. Everything in the Bible from the beginning to the end is saying socialism is bad. It's not a free society. Even funny thing is that communists even make wage war against the socialists. They're supposedly pure socialists, but most of the people that betray their society and want to force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare, those are the useful idiots of Stalin. Those are some of the first people that he will have executed, because he knows they would betray their neighbor for a loaf of bread. And he knows they would betray him. And so those are the first people that are gotten rid of. Also, they're expensive because they don't work as hard as the other people. And he doesn't want the useless eaters around. And this is always the way that it goes. It's self-interest that runs most of society. I remember Milton Friedman said, Well, first of all, when talking about socialist societies to Donahue, I think it was. Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? And he goes on to say, of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who is greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. And that's, you know, he's a very clever man and very bright man. But the question goes back to, what society doesn't run on greed? But then he ends up changing greed to separate interests, pursuing their separate interests. What is your interest? Is your interest in Christ, in the love of Christ? Because are you greedy for the love of Christ? You see, that's a different kind of greed. That's a greedy for the opportunity of serving Christ out of love. I mean, if you love your wife or your husband, you want to do things for them. If you love Christ, you want to do things for him. He said, feed my sheep. So do you feed the members of your society? Do you seek the members of your society? Do you seek the lost sheep of your society? Do you contribute to that effort to find other people who want to live by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? Are you working for that? Are you tithing to that? I don't care who it is that you tithe to. But are you seeing men who are doing that, seeking those other souls out there beating the brush? I remember we had a number of PCMs that were visiting here, even Minister of Record, and that night the sheep didn't come home. And we were all out looking for them. And eventually we found them. They didn't come back in. Normally they go and they put themselves away, the ones that are here. The sheep all come in out of the field. The gates of the field are not locked. They're wide open all the time. We drive in and out. Nobody's opening and closing the gate. The sheep are down in the field and they stay in the field. And when they're done, they go and they put themselves away in a pen at night to protect them from the coyotes. They know. They come in on their own. But once in a great while, they suddenly decide to go somewhere else. I don't know who it is who's conspiring. but anyway, they got lost. And we had all these PCMs there. And we were all out in the wind and cold. It was a windy day, which may have contributed to it. When the winds blow, people get a little panicky, and so do sheep. But we found them. They actually left one place in field, and they came back to this place instead of to where they normally stay at night. But that idea of going out and looking is an important thing. Finding the other lost souls, because there isn't anybody in the media talking to you about the kingdom. Your online preachers, your radio preachers, they're not really telling you what the kingdom looks like. But in the next couple of hours, we're going to talk to you a lot about what the kingdom looks like. What is the society of Christ? What does his society look like? According to Karl Marx, society does not exist of individuals, but expresses the sum of the interrelation and relations within which these individuals stand. It doesn't consist of individuals. It's the collective, according to him. Of course, now, you know, Margaret Thatcher even says, there is no such thing as society. There are individual men and women, and there are families. That's Margaret Thatcher's approach. So she says there's no such thing as society, and Karl Marx says there's no such thing that consists, no society that consists of individuals. Margaret Thatcher says there are no society, but only individuals. And so there, you got two ends of the spectrum here. Karl Marx on one end, Margaret Thatcher on the other. Well, actually, Margaret Thatcher is over on the other side of society, and I respect the lady. I don't want to pick on her at all in any way, shape, or form. She was a very courageous individual. But Margaret Thatcher is actually over on the side with Karl Marx when you divide society into the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. Because in her corporate society, there were still people who exercised authority one over the other. She could still declare war. She still had the power to compel. She was trying to move the people back towards individual responsibility and away from the socialist state of England that was destroying it. Of course, now it's going back without her. It's going back to that socialist state. And they're always trying to keep this balance between absolutely devastating socialism. We had a fella here from Denmark, and or actually I may have got that wrong, maybe he was from Holland, but anyway, big tall guy. Anyway, but their government just, he was saying that if it voted communist, he was going to leave the country. Yet he was a staunch socialist. He believed in socialism, sort of. You know, that's what he was raised in. That's what he believed in. By the time he left here, he had an earful socialism. But the reality is, the social, you know, Karl Marx loves socialism because he knows it leads to communism. He loves democracy because he knows it leads to communism, because people will exercise their separate interests, and the majority of the people do not have the interest in Christ, even the majority of people claiming to be Christians today. They have more self-interest than the self-denial that is required to be a real Christian. Now, I'll admit that in many of those people that element exists, but there's a war waging in us all. We are all tempted to follow away from the ways of Christ. And therefore, that is why it's so important to define what those ways of Christ look like and how they operate and how it functions. Christ came preaching the kingdom. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. I'm going to give it to another group. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Those people who got baptized under the authority of Christ, church, we'll use that word church, he didn't call them church then, but he appointed his apostles to be the princes of a kingdom, who did not exercise authority one over the other, but still supplied all the benefits of government through faith, hope, and charity. Their society turned around and started going another way, stopped coveting their neighbor's goods, stopped forcing their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. And they became a more successful society. So much more successful that 300 years or almost 250 years later, Constantine tried to emulate Christianity, but he failed. And today, we have churches today that are more like Constantine's church in the Church of Christ, and we'll talk about what that means. What that means could mean to you on Liberty Radio Live.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.